Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Nun Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asa family in memory of Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam. Today's daf is also being studied there in the Shmat of Raham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We learned in our Mishnah that it is permissible on Shabbat to pour water into the mursan. Mursan is bran. It is permissible to add water into the bran. However, the Mishnah says clearly it is not. It is forbidden to knead it. Kneading with a K is one of the 39 melachot. It's called lash. It is forbidden to make a mess of dough on Shabbat. Therefore, while the Mishnah allows us to pour the water into the mursan, that's the bran. That's for the animals to eat, it is forbidden to knead it. So the Gemara says, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Amrita kame demor. I said in front of Mor, meaning the master, that is Rabbah. Matnitin mane, who is the author of our Mishnah, that says it is permissible to pour the water into the bran. Ve'amali, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehudai. It's going according to the Tanna, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehudai. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Ehad noten et hakemach. Ve'ahad noten et tocho ma'im ha'acharon hayav devrei Rabbi. We're talking about, in this case, over here in the Braita, flour. If, let's say, somebody on Shabbat pours flour into a empty bowl, and the second guy comes along and adds water. So the B says the guy that adds the water, he is considered hayav. So we see according to the B, adding water to flour is considered already lash. That's considered already kneading. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Eno hayav ad shiyagabel. He says no, you're not hayav until you actually knead it. Therefore, the guy that adds the water to it is not going to be hayav. And therefore, we could say that who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, that allows to pour the water into the bran and is not subject to the isur of lash. The Gemara says, no, who said? Dilma ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda hatam ela kema de bar gibulu. Maybe over there, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Yosef said, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, the reason why he said if you add water, it's not considered a problem, because flour and water can form a dough. And therefore, since it can form a dough, you're not going to be hayab until you actually need it. Adding the water will not be enough. However, about mursan, but by bran, that it does not turn into a dough when you need it. So could be, you'll say, I feel it'll be your simbidamode. Could be the B.O.S.L. will be the B.O.S.L. that will agree that what? That even adding the water is enough, which means on items that turn into a mass of dough, then you actually have to knead it to be hayab. However, on an item that kneading it doesn't affect to make it a dough, then maybe even adding the water is going to be esu. So therefore, again, we're back to the question, who is the author of our Mishnah that allows to pour water into the bran? So the Gemara says, we would not think that there's such a chiluk between the flour and the bran. De Tanya, because we have an explicit braita. And what does the braita say? While the B says it is forbidden to add water to the bran, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Da'omer notni ma'im lemursan. It clearly says you can add water to the bran. So therefore, without a shadow of a doubt, we know the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that clearly said in the Braita you can add water into mursan, into the bran. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. En govlin et kali, v'yesh omrim govlin. Okay, what is kali? Kali is not regular flour. Kali is flour that comes from dry roasted kernels of wheat that they grind them up. Rashi says it's sweet. Okay, the flour always remains sweet after you dry roast it, and now you grind it up. And now this question is: are you permissible to knead this type of flour with water or not? So the Braita has two opinions. Well, the first opinion of the Braita says, "En govlin et kali." You're not allowed to be to knead the kali, which means first opinion is saying it's asur, but yesh en govlin. And the other opinion says it's permissible. So the Gemara says, "Man yesh omrim." Who's this opinion that says it's permissible to knead this type of flour? Amar of Hazdar, of Hazdar says, "Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda." It must be Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's explain. It can't be the bee. Because the bee holds that even adding water into flour is going to be asur min haTorah. He was the opinion that said in the other Braita that if you have a guy that adds water to the flour, that's considered hayav. So therefore, certainly, he's not going to allow you to go start kneading this flour over here, which is not regular flour. It's called kemach. Kali, it certainly will be asur min haOraita. However, according to the Biyosef, the Biyuda, he said what? That the one that pours the water in, he's not hayav. Oh, so pouring the water in is only going to be isur derabanan. That's the way we're learning. It's only isur derabanan. And therefore, since it's isur derabanan, there's room to make it mutar. How? If you do it al yedeh shinui, meaning if you have an isur derabanan that you do it in a not normal fashion, it can be permissible. Therefore, the Gemara is telling you, if you have this not regular flour, we're talking about flour of kali. Okay, it's the dry roasted flour from the kernels. Now, what's the deen? Rabbi Yehuda, one opinion says you're allowed to knead it. How could you need it? So we'll say like this, that for Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, so long as you do it al yedeh shinui, meaning you do it through an abnormal way. How do you do an abnormal way? Amar Hazda, al yad, meaning you do it a little at a time, which means so long as you add some water and you knead small amounts at a time, it'll be permissible. Because he holds that this flour is only Yisud Rabbanah from the beginning. Which is, when do we talk about Yisud Oraita? That's only by regular flour. So regular flour, you're not going to be even allowed to do it in small measures. That's Yisud Oraita. But by Kemach Kali, it's only Yisud Rabbanah. So if you have an item that's not the Oraita, if you do it Ayideh Shinui, it'll be Putar. What's the Shinui over here? You're doing it a little at a time. Now, according to the B, we'll go back. According to the B, by Mursan, by the brand, he held you're not allowed to even add water. That means the B holds even by items that are not like flour. Mursan, he holds it's deoraita. So therefore, there should be no difference between brand and Kali. It's not flour. They're both not flour. And still he holds Isu Doraita. Whereas Rabbi Huda was lenient by bran. So therefore he allowed you to pour the water in. Why? Because he must hold that what? It's only Isu Rabbanan. And therefore to Megabel it would only be Isu Rabbanan. Therefore, which means to pouring the water in is Matir. I go back. Pouring the water in Mutar. When it comes to kneading it, it'll be Isu Rabbanan. Al Yedeh Shinui Mutar. Now we understand our Mishnah. Mishnah says, well, you can add water to the bran. Adding water is nothing according to the Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Adding water is mutar. But you cannot knead it. But, let's say in the Mishnah by the bran, if you wanted to knead it a little at a time, it would be permissible according to the Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas according to the B, you wouldn't even be allowed to pour the water into the bran. That would be considered Hayuv Hatat, let alone to go start kneading it biyadayim. Comes the Gemara and says Veshavin, but everybody agrees, meaning Tanakama, meaning Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda both agree Shebohashim et Shatit. It is permissible to mix the Shatit. What is Shatit? Shatit was a drink that they used to have in the olden days. It was made out of this flour from the Kali, from the dry roasted flour, and it was mixed with oil and salt, and as we can see in the Gemara, also sometimes they made it with vinegar. So it's permissible to mix this on Shabbat. Now the Gemara is going to explain this in a moment. How could you mix it on Shabbat? Seemingly you are kneading it. It turns into like a paste. The Gemara will explain. Furthermore, it's permissible to drink a drink. It was a beer-like drink called Zetum HaMisli, the Egyptian Zetum. Now, even though some people would use it for medicinal purposes, but since some people also drink it as a drink, so it's not evident that you're doing it for medicinal purposes, therefore it's permissible to drink it on Shabbat. Now we go back. Veha amart en goblin. It says, how could you tell me that it is permissible to mix the shatit on Shabbat
according to Tanakama, he clearly said in the Braita, En govlim et hakali.
What is kali? Kali is this dry roasted flour. And what? They mix it with water and salt, meaning it's exactly the same case. It's when we said you're not allowed to, according to Tanakama, need the Kali was talking about this mixture of Shtita. And now he tells me in the same Braita that everybody agrees, it's mutar to mix it. Make up your mind. So give us lakasha. Habe abba, habe raka. It depends if you have the thick shetit or the loose one. The thick one, Tanakama is going to say it is asur. That's what he said in the beginning. En govir et akali. That's talking about what it is thick, the consistency. That's a dough-like. However, when it's loose, then he will allow it. However, hanimile hu demishane. Only if you do it al yedeh, shinui. Hechi mishane, how you do this shinui? Amar of Yosef, behol, normally the way you would make this drink, noteret ha-chometz, akach noteret ha-shatit. First you would put the vinegar, and then you would add the flour. B'Shabbat, you make a shinui. How? Noteret ha-shatit, akach noteret ha-chometz. So first put the flour, and then put the chometz. As long as you do that shinui, it'll be okay. So let's review the shitot for a second. According to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, he would say you can even make and mix the thick shatit, so long as you do it in little increments at a time. Because he holds the shinui can be even al-yad al-yad, right? Like we said. However, according to Rabbi, he says, no, this over here, if it's thick, it's Yisud Oraita. Yisud Oraita, no shinui is going to help. Also, how did he allow you to mix the shatit? It was talking about loose shatit. It's liquidy. And therefore, that's going to be asur midrabanan, according to him. Oh, isur midrabanan, shinui will help. What's the shinui according to the Rabbi? So the shinui is the way you mix it. Meaning, first put the shatit, and then put the vinegar. Levi bered ravuna bar chaya. Gemara now tells the story of Levi, the son of Rabbi Huna bar Chaya Ashkechel, Gabla debe Nashaya. He saw the mixers of the fodder of his father's house. It seems his father had animals, and he used to have certain people designated to mix the food. So the fodder mixers, exactly. So on Shabbat, they were doing it. They were mixing the fodder. They were the bran with the water. They were mixing it. The kagavil, they were actually kneading it. And they were feeding it to the animals, to the oxes. Batashbe. So he kicked them. Meaning he rebuked them and said, what do you mean this is asur? Ata abu. So his father, Levi's father, came ashkehe and he found him. Amarle. Hachi amar abu de'imach. This is what your grandfather said. Your mother's father, Mishemed Rav, in the name of Rav. Umar, and who's that person? Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. Govlin velo misafin. It is permissible on Shabbat to actually knead the fodder of the animals, but you can't feed it to them. Feeding it is considered a tirha. Let them eat it by themselves. Udlo lakit bilishne, and an animal that his tongue does not catch the food, meaning he's not adept yet at eating, malketine, you can even stick the food in its mouth. Oh, but wait. Is it permissible actually to just knead animal fodder on Shabbat? No. It's only permissible so long as you make a shinui. Hechi mishne, what's the shinui? Amar Rav Yemar b'shelamya mishme de abaye sheti ve'ayrev. Meaning, the way you mix it according to Rashi is, you make one move in a downward north-south, and then one move east-west. Meaning, you take, let's say, the spoon, you go down, and then you go across. Sheti ve'ayrev. So the Gemara says, v'halu ma'arev shapir. Doing that, it's not going to mix the fodder good enough. Amar Rav Yehuda minaro likli. And if you want, then you can actually, minaro likli sounds like you're going to pour it into another vessel, and by pouring it in, it will make it mix. Okay. Right, some have the gersa likli acher, which you actually pour it into another vessel, and that will cause it to mix. Now let's understand what's being said over here. Obviously, we're going with the lenient opinion over here by kneading. Meaning this opinion is telling us what? That so long as you make a shinui, it is going to be permissible. Which means, like, how that's not going to be Yosef, but be Yehuda. That said what? You could, like in the Mishnah we learned also, you could pour the water in. However, you need a shinui when it comes to the gibul. So here it's telling you what? The shinui is going to be sheti ve'ayrev. When it comes, before we learned
we said the shinui is going to be al yad. When it came to making the kemah, the shatit drink, where it was thick, the biyusimu that has leniency was what? No problem of gibul over deoraita. Therefore, if you do a shinui, what's the shinui? Al yad. Do it a little at a time. Why over here they give you one chinui and before they gave a different chinui? So the Rishonim explained there's a difference. When you're doing it for human consumption, so then already the chinui has to be very, very clear that what? You're just doing a little at a time. You're doing it in small increments. However, we're being actually more mahmir when it comes to the animals. When it comes to the animals, we don't want you to make a normal gibul at all. Therefore, you have to make an extra shinui. Here we're talking about you're feeding this stuff to the animals. So they were more mahabir, I should say. And therefore what? You have to do a sheti va'erev, important to get above. We were talking about for human consumption. Okay, so just do a little of time and make regular gibul. However, over here we give it to the animals. Sheti va'erev, important to a keli. In any event, the Gemara continues. Katav or ketiv apinkesed zirini. It was found on the ledger of Ze'iri. Seems he wrote his notes of Divrei Torah on ledgers like the businessmen have. Amarit kodam Rabbi. I said in front of Rabbi. Umanu, who's Rabbi? Rabbi Chaya. Ma'u legabel. I asked him, is it permissible to be megabel on Shabbat to need on Shabbat? Amar asud. Meaning it seems he took the stringent opinion of Rabbi that said what? That Gibul is going to be asur, whether it's by regular flour, or even by the Kali, also it's going to be forbidden. Even by the other items, like the Musan, the bran, etc. Then he asked them another question. Mahu lefarek. Is it permissible to be mefarek? The way that she understands that is latet. Just want to get the right girsa in the Rashi. Latet or likah. Okay, some have it likah mitoch keli shenefneh be'mazuv latet nefneh haberta. If you have, let's say, food in the bucket in front of one animal, and you want to empty it out into a different bucket to give it to a different animal, is that permissible on Shabbat? Meaning it's an issue of tirha. Amar mutari, that's mutari. Feeding the animal, that's okay. That's the way that she learned. Tosfot had a different understanding over here from the Ri. He said lefarek means to empty out the water and the mursan from one keli into another keli in order that it can become congealed. Meaning you have the mursan and the water in one keli. And now you just empty out to another keli. By emptying out to another keli, it's going to cause it to become a mess. He told him that already is mutar. Amar Rav Menashe. Now Rav Menashe gives us another deen regarding feeding animals on Shabbat. Had kamehad. You can put one measure of food that's normally eaten by one animal, you could place it in front of one animal. Example, if an animal normally eats 1 pound of food, you could take 1 pound and put it in front of one animal. Tre, kame tre. You're allowed to take 2 measures of food and put it in front of 2 animals. 2 pounds in front of 2 animals. Shapir dame. Tlata kame tre asur. But to take 3 measures to put in front of 2 animals, that's going to be asur because of tirha. Meaning if you take 3 pounds of food and put it in front of 2 animals, that's considered overexertion. As she says, all the more so to take 2 pounds of food and put it in front of 1 animal, that would also be considered overexertion. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef argues. He says, kav afilu kabayim. You can put as much food as you want in front of the animals. A kav even 2 kabim. Ula Amar kur vafilu kuraim. He even gives a bigger measure. 1 kur even many kurim, as much food as you want to put in front of the animal, it is permissible. Ketiv apinkesed Levi. It was written in the pinkas, in the ledger of Levi. Amarit kodam Rabbi. It was said in front of Rabbi. Umanu, who's Rabbi? Rabbi Rakadosh. Al da'avu gablin shtita bevavil. On the subject that the Babylonians used to mix the shtita on Shabbat. Now we're talking about where it was a thick consistency, and they were mixing the shtita. V'hava savach Rabbi. And Rabbi was yelling at them. Umanu, and who's the Rabbi that was yelling at them? Rabbi Rakadosh. Al davu gablin shtita. Because Rabbi Rakadosh is Rabbi, we learned his opinion above, that if it's thick, it's sur deoraita. And therefore you're not allowed to mix the shtita. He only allowed to mix when it's loose. Al yedei shinui. But not to mix it when it is thick. Veled shamiyale, but they didn't listen to him. Veled chela biyadei lemesar, and he did not have strength to say clearly that it's going to be asur. Why?
Because they had Rabbi Yosef to be lenient on, meaning he held if it's thick and you do al yadesh shinui, meaning you do al yad, it'll be permissible. So therefore Rabbi said, I'm against it, but I can't enforce it because they have a Tana to rely on it. Kativ apin kesed Rabbi Yosef ben Nevi. He was found on the ledger of Rabbi Yosef ben Nevi. Hay man debehad b'shabbat. If a person was born on a Sunday, yehe gevar, he will be a man velo hadabe, meaning he'll be without a trace of any other nature in him, meaning he will be a one-faceted person, a one-natured person. So the Gemara says, "My velo hadabe." What does it mean that he's not going to have any other trace of another trait? Idema velo hadletibu, meaning if it means to say he's not going to have any good trait, meaning he's going to be totally bad. So the Gemara says, "Ba'amar Rav Asher, ana behad b'shabbah habay." Rav Asher said he was born on Sunday, so it's obviously cannot mean that he's not going to have a trace of a good trait. Rav Asher was a Amorai, was a Sadiq. Ela lav hada levishu. Ela means he's not going to have a trace of a bad trait. Could that be? V'amar Rav Asher, ana v'dimi bar kakusta. Rav Asher said, me and dimi bar kakusta have yan b'ha b'shabeta. We were both born on Sunday. Ana melech v'hu avar resh ganave. I became the Rosh Hashiva, and he became the head of the thieves. So you see that it's possible to be born on a Sunday, and you do have trace of bad. So what does it mean you're not going to have a trace of another trait? Ela I kule letibu or kule lebishu. It means you're either going to be all good or all bad. The way the Mefarshim explained it is that it's not referring to over here that God Hatzal takes away the free will of a person. Of course, a person has free will. It just means over here that a person will have a proneness to be a leader. Meaning, if you're going to go on the good side and you choose good, that choice will lead you to be the top. Like Rav Asher became the Rosh Hashiva. And like Bar Kukuzah became the head of the thieves. He chose to go that way and he ended up becoming the leader. The Beit Shammai explains why is that Sunday the day to become a leader of either good or bad. Because he says that was the first day that had darkness and the first day that had lightness. So either you become the head of lightness, which is good, or the head of darkness, which is bad. Hai man de betre b'shabbat. A person that was born on a Monday. Yeh gevar ragzani. Will be a person that is an angry man. By tama mishum defligu b'maya. Because God split the waters on Monday, and therefore it's a day of divisiveness, and therefore a person is going to be an angry man. Hai man de betlata b'shabbat. A person that was born on a Tuesday. Yeh gevar atir b'zana. He'll be rich, but also prone to adultery. Yeah, the Gemara says, "My Tama, what's the reason?" Mishum de'ibru be'asabim, because on Tuesday God created the grass. Now, the grass on one end, it says that they were parav and abad. They grow very quickly. That's a sign of wealth, but it's also a sign of wildness, meaning the nature of the person is to be a promiscuous type of fellow. Furthermore, as she tells us, it doesn't say the word leminehu by the asabi, meaning to its species, implying that they take from each other when they're in the ground. Each grass is yonek, sustains itself from its neighbor, and that's a sign of znut. And therefore, the person born on Tuesday has that proneness. Hai man de ba'arba'a b'shabbat. Person's born on a Wednesday. Yeh gevar hakim v'nahir. He's going to be wise and he's going to have an illuminating complexion. Because that was the day God hung up the lights, meaning the sun. And the sun is or, and the pasuk writes v'torah or. And therefore we have the wisdom of Torah. The Gemara says, Hai man de b'hamisha b'shabbat. Person is born on a Thursday. Yeh gevar gomer hasadim. He's going to be a person that's going to be drawn after doing kindness for people. My tama b'shub devru b'dagim ve'onfot, because that was the day that God created the fish and the birds. Now, what does that have to do with chesed? So that she says, because God is very kind to these animals, that they don't have to toil for their panasa. Their panasa is very prevalent, and therefore he's going to have the same nature of gevurat hasadim. This person that was born on a
Thursday. The Ben Ish Chai says, according to the Kabbalah, Mayim represents Chesed. Water is Chesed, and therefore these fish were created, so therefore there's allusion to Mayim and Chasadim. Hayman de Ma'ale Shabbeta, a person is born on a Friday, Yegevar Hazran. His we a man that's very excited to go after things. So the Gemara says, Amar al-Hamad Yitzhak Hazran b'mitzvot. Yeah, he's going to be going after good deeds. Just like people on Friday, the nature is what? They're running around doing Shabbat errands. They're running around doing mitzvot. So a person born on Friday, he'll have a proneness to go around and do a lot of good deeds. A person that was born on Shabbat, b'shabbeta yemut, he will die on Shabbat. Because since by being born on Shabbat he caused Hilul Shabbat to take place, because they had to take the mother to the hospital and they had to maybe do Hilul Shabbat, so as a punishment, so they punish him as a so to speak, and he dies on Shabbat. If someone dies on Shabbat, they can't bury him. He has to wait until Sunday. So that's because he caused his mother years before to be Mechalel Shabbat. The Mefarshim say we don't see this happening. That doesn't always work that way. So one of the Mefarshim answered that because could be when the person was born on Shabbat there was no Hilul Shabbat done. Not every child that's born on Shabbat necessarily needs Hilul Shabbat to take place. Or it could be in his life, let's say God forgave him for it, and therefore he was able to die on a different day. In any event, if somebody dies on Shabbat, he is, however, considered a holy person. Because it says, by Shabbat, vaykadeshehu. Shabbat is considered a holy day. Therefore, the death on Shabbat is considered a holy person. Amar lehu Rav Hanina. So Rav Hanina says, puku, go out, imru le lebar livaya. Go tell them, Yoshua ben Devi, lo mazal yom gorem, ela mazal sha'a gorem. You think it's the day that creates the mazal of a person? It's not the day. It's actually the hour that he's born. We learned early in the Masechet that there are seven constellations that are constantly moving. Every hour, another constellation is in its force. The Rashi Tevot to remember the constellation was Shansam, Shatsam, Hankal. Let's review Shatsam, Hankal. Read it in the Rashi. Actually, it's Hankal, Shatsam. Those are the seven. The Het stands for Hama. Hama is the sun. Nun is Noga. Noga is?
Venus,
that's correct. Chav is Kochav, that is Mercury. Lamed is Levana, that's the moon. Shin is Shabbatai, that's Saturn. Tzadi is Tzedek. Tzedek is Jupiter. And Mem is Ma'adim, that is Mars. Those are the seven constellations, two of them are the sun and the moon and the other five planets, that are always consistently, every hour, another one of these constellations is on top. And they affect a person's mazal. So therefore, the Pahinah is coming along to say, it doesn't matter what day you were born. You have to know what hour you were born in that day to know which mazal was influencing that hour, and that'll affect a person's life. So the Gemara says, for example, Hayman de Behama, if a person was born when the sun, the hour where the sun was influencing, Ye Gevar Ziftan. First of all, he's going to be a person with a glow or a certain radiation, a certain shine like the sun. Yehe Achil Midile. He's going to eat from his own food. Meaning he's going to be able to support himself, to eat from his own, and drink from his own. Meaning just like the sun does not encroach upon the night. The sun only shines in its time, it doesn't come out at night. Therefore it is self-contained, exactly. Verazohi galyan. However, such a fellow will not be able to have any secrets. All his secrets are going to be exposed, just like the sun. When the sun comes out, everybody sees it. Im ganiv, for example, if he's going to be a thief, this guy, lo metzlach. He's not going to succeed because he's going to be exposed. Hay man de bekochav noga. If a person is born in Noga, what do we explain as Noga? That is Venus. Yehe gevar atir. He's going to be rich, vezanai. But he's also going to be an adulterer, meaning he has a proneness to adultery. Maitama, mishum de tialid ben nura.
because that's the fiery planet Venus. And she tells us that that causes the person to be heated up for the pleasure of Tashmish. Hay man de bekochav, person is born under Mercury, yehe gevar nahir v'hakim. He's going to be illuminated, he's going to be smart. Why? Mishum de safra de hamahu. Because the way the Gemara says it is Mercury is the secretary of the sun. Meaning it trails the sun in its traveling. And then when the sun is the Hagan, the sun is light. And then the secretary of the sun is Mercury, and therefore a person born under that constellation will have Chokhmah. Hayman de Belebana, a person is born under the influence of the moon, Yegevar Savil Marain. He's going to be one that suffers a lot of troubles, just like the moon, that always gets smaller every month. Banai v'satir, he's going to build and it's going to get destroyed. Satir will destroy u'banai and it'll be built. Which means you're constantly building and destroying. It's like the moon that waxes and wanes every month, and therefore the person's not going to really be able to have a success in anything for a long time, because it's like going to be like the sun. Achil de lo dile, he's going to eat from others, something that doesn't belong to him. He's going to drink from others as well, just like the moon sometimes comes out during the day. Sometimes you look at the day, you see the moon out. So you see it encroaches upon somebody else's domain. But one thing, he is concealed. His secrets will be concealed, just like the moon, which is a dark planet. Therefore, it's concealed. Therefore, if the guy's going to be a thief, matzlach, he'll be successful, because they will not catch him. Hayman, the Bishabbetai, person is born in Saturn. Now, Shabbat comes from the word Shabbat. Shabbat is to cease. If a person is born in Saturn, Yegevan Mashavte Betlan, all his plans are going to cease, meaning he's not going to be successful. All his plans are not going to come to fruition. They're going to just fail. Now, V'ita Amri, but some say it in a positive way. Call the Mashavin Alebetin. All those that think on him a plot, their plans against them will cease to come to fruition. Hayman de Betzedek. If a person is born in... No, Tzedek is Jupiter. Yehe gevar tzidkan. He will have a certain righteousness to him. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, v'tzidkan b'mitzvot. Meaning it means a righteousness in mitzvot, meaning he'll be a righteous person. Comes Gemara says, Hay man de b'ma'adim. If a person is born under the influence of Mars, Mars is the red planet. Red planet is blood. Yehe gevar ashin dama. He's going to be a man that is going to spill blood. Amar Rav Asher, either he can be a bloodletter, which is a good thing, or ganava, or he can be a thief, where he kills people. He's going to have a contact with blood. So either he can channel it to something good, like being a bloodletter, which is a doctor, which is good, or he can channel it to be a ganava, be a thing. Or he can be a tabaha, he can be a butcher, which is a good thing, or he can be a mohel, a circumciser. But bottom line, his contact is going to be with blood. Like we see two people in our history were born under Ma'adim, David HaMelech and Esav. Both of them had red hair. Hachamim hint to us that that's because they were born under the red planet. David HaMelech had a tendency for blood. Where? In wars. He fought Jewish wars, mitzvah, and killed many enemies. However, Esav also had that tendency to kill. He was a hunter. And he went and killed animals, and he also killed people, and therefore he channeled his energies the wrong way. Amar Rabba. Rabba comes along and says, Ana b'ma'adim habay. He says, I was born in Ma'adim, meaning under the influence of Mars. And he was trying to say, and I don't have any connection to blood, so what are you talking about? Amar Abaye, mor nameh. My master also, anish v'katil. You punish and kill. Meaning Rabba was the chief rabbi at the time, and he had the court, and he was able to inflict punishment on those that were not following the Torah. So what Abaye was saying, yeah, by the fact that you are able to put, you know, punishment on people for not obeying the Torah, that's like blood. Therefore, you have a tendency towards that. Others explain, based on the Gemara Megillah, that says there was a Purim where Rabba, in his drunken stage, got up and killed Rabbi Zerah. Eventually, Rabbi Zerah was revived, but he actually killed him. So you see, Rabba actually had this tendency. So Hatam Sofer explains beautifully. He says, Rabba had the tendency, but he suppressed it and overcame it. Jeez, we know that if a person has a tendency to something, he can overcome it and control it. On Purim, when he was drinking, he got drunk, so therefore his God was down. And therefore the tendency came out, and he killed the Rabbi Zerah. In any event, Itmar, Rav Hanina Omer,
Rav Harina holds, very important mahloket, mazal mahkim, mazal ma'ashir, v'yesh mazal Yisrael. He says, it's all about the mazal, meaning the constellation that you were born under. That's if you're going to be rich, depends on the mazal. If you're going to be smart, depends on the mazal. And there is mazal for Yisrael, meaning Jews are also subject to mazal, and therefore their prayers cannot change the mazal. And even if they do great zikhuyot, it cannot change. It is what it is. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, in mazal Yisrael. I says, no sir, there's no mazal. Meaning, of course there's mazal, but it can change. Meaning if you pray, or you have a big zikhut, the mazal can change. And Rabbi Yohanan has a proof to this. The Azdar, Rabbi Yohanan, the Tamei Rabbi Yohanan, is following his reasoning. The Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Minayin she'en mazal Yisrael. How do we know that the Jewish people are above, so to speak, the mazal? Shene'emar, Ko Amar Hashem, this is a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Ko Amar Hashem, El Derech Agoyim Al Telmadu. The prophet says, do not learn from the ways of the goyim, ume'otot ha-shamayim, and from the signs in heaven, al tehatu. Don't be afraid, meaning of the constellations, ki yehatu ha-goyim mehem, because the goyim are scared of that. Meaning the goyim are subject to the mazan, they're locked in. But you don't have to be scared of that. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says, hem yehatu velo Yisrael. They have to be scared, but not us. Why? Because we can change it. Even if we're born under a bad mazal, we're not locked in. So you see the pasuk in Yirmiyah clearly says, "En mazal Yisrael." Ve'af Rab Savar En mazal Yisrael. Rab also holds this as well, and he brings a proof from Avraham Avinu. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rab, minayin she mazal Yisrael? How do we know that the Jewish people are above the mazal? Shene emar. Vayotze oto hachutzah. It says God took Avraham Avinu and brought him outside. If you remember the parasha where he pointed to the stars and said, "Just see how many stars are on the sky. Just like you can't count the stars, that's how many children you're going to have." Amar Avraham Avtekalos Baruchu. The Boroshi Olam, Avraham Avinu originally told God, Ben Beti Yoreshoti, my servant is going to inherit me, meaning I only have Eliezer, I don't have any children, I have to be going to have to bequeath all my life to my servant. Amar lo lav, God says not so. Ki Masher Yetzei Mimeicha, somebody is going to come out of your wife's womb, he is going to be your inheritor. So Amar Lefanav, so Abraham tells God, I looked at the stars, I looked at my mazal, it says in the stars that I'm not able, according to my mazal, to bore a child. So Amar lo tseme etztagninut shelcha, go out of your mazal, meaning when the pasuk says vayotze otu achutza, he took him outside of his mazal. Meaning he was trying to tell him, She'en mazal Yisrael. He says, well, you're above the mazal. And what was God telling him? So the Gemara says, my da'pech. God tells Abraham, what do you think? Deka'et tzedek b'ma'arav. He says, you were born, Abraham, in the mazal of tzedek. Okay? And at the time, tzedek was in the west. Now, when Jupiter is in the west, as she says, it's cold. And somebody has a cold body temperature, cannot have children. So there was, what are you worried? Because when you were born, Jupiter was in the west, and therefore that's your mazal? God says, no problem. I can make it that Jupiter now will go to the east, where it's hot, and therefore your mazal will change and be able to have children. I mean, God will change it. And that's what it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Mi ha'ir memizrach sedek yikra'ehu liraglo. Who was the one? Who was the one that awoke Tzedek? Who awoke, meaning awoke Tzedek from the east? He summoned it because of him. Who was him? Avraham. And God summoned Jupiter to go to the east on the account of Avraham. So what do you see? En mazal l'Yisrael. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ud medim Shemuel nameh en mazal Yisrael. We're going to bring a proof from Shemuel also that Jews are above the mazal. The Shemuel the Ablat. There was a fellow called Ablat, that she says he was a non-Jew stargazer. Havu yetve, they were sitting together. Havu ka'az lehanach in chilagma. There was two fellows walking to the swamp. Amar le, actually to collect reeds in the swamp, the marshland. Amar le Ablat to Shmuel. So Ablat told Shmuel, after looking in the stars, he said, Hai gavra azir, this fellow's going to go. Velo ate, he's not coming back. Tariq le hevya umayit. A snake is going to bite him and he's going to die. Avlat read the stars and he saw that this guy doesn't have any more life. Amane Shmuel, so Shmuel responded, Ibad Yisrael hava, if he's Jewish, azal ve'ate, he can come back. Adiyadveh, they were sitting and waiting, azil ve'ate, the guy came back. Kam Ablat, so Ablat got up, shagyal letune, he opened up the guy's knapsack. Ashkach beh, he found in it, hevya, a snake, the pasik, that was dead, and was split into two parts. Meaning that snake over there was really supposed to kill him. But what happened? Miraculously, it died and got split. He told the fellow, what good deed did you do today that God saved you from your fate? So he told him, every day we collect bread collectively in a, let's say a basket, the group sits down to eat, we collect the bread, and badadadi together, and we divide it, and we eat from the basket. Haidana, today, hava ika hadminan, there was one amongst us, he didn't have bread. So if it was embarrassing, if they would go around with the basket, he doesn't have to donate to the pot. Hava kamiksif, he was going to get embarrassed. Amina, so I said to myself, lehu, I told the group, Ana ka'amina ve'armina. Let me be the one that collects the bread today. Of course he did it, so when he gets up to the guy who doesn't have, he'll be able to cover up for him. Ki matai legabe, when I got up to that fellow, shavai nafshai keman deshakili mine. I made it as if I took something from him, in order to save him from embarrassment. Meanwhile, what did he do? He put an extra piece of bread of his own to compensate for that guy who didn't put in. In order not to embarrass him. Amar neh, so Shmuel says, mitzvah, avad, you did a mitzvah. Nafak Shmuel, v'derash Shmuel, went out and said in the Rasha, utztaka tatzil mimavet. The Pasuk says in Mishneh, King Solomon says, and charity saves a person from death. Ve'lo memita mishuna, not only from an unusual death, even from death itself, but you don't think that what Shlomo said, it saves you from death, meaning if a person is supposed to die in an unusual way, tzedakah will just give him a zikut that he'll die in a normal way. No! If a person is destined to die, tzedakah can actually save him from death itself. Here, this fellow's mazal was, he was supposed to die that day. Ablat was right, he read the stars correctly. But Shmuel said, en mazal Yisrael. The Jewish people are above the mazal. If you do a zechut, it can change the mazal. Now we're going to see another episode where we prove en mazal yisrael. From Rabbi Akiva, nameh en mazal yisrael. From Rabbi Akiva, you also learn the principle of en mazal yisrael. Rabbi Akiva, havya le barta. Right? Rabbi Akiva had a daughter. Amre le kaldae. Again, there was a certain stargazer that told him, ha'hu yuma da'ila lebegana. Now the day that you take your bride, and they take your daughter to be a bride, meaning on her wedding day, kanana is the chuppah, tariq la, she's going to get bitten by hivya, by a snake, umita, she's going to die. Hava di'iga amilta tuva. Rabbi Akiva was worried about this, you know, a lot. Hahu yuma, that day of the wedding, shakalte le machbanta, she took her brooch, there was a certain pin that she was planning on wearing, datsta beguda. She has a pin on one side, so she pierced it into the wall, meaning to store it there. She just stuck it into the wall. She took it out, right? When she was ready to go to the wedding, she took out the brooch. And on the pin went into the eye, dehevya, into the eye of a snake. It happened, that she actually pierced the eye of a snake that was in the wall. Letzafra, the next morning, when she took it out, when she took it out, there was a snake that was drawn after it. She pulled out a dead snake, meaning she was saved. That snake was really going to kill her out of the wall. But when she put the brooch in, it actually killed it. Amana Abu, so Rabbi Akiva told her, "My avad, what mitzvah did you do today?" Amar le, she said, "Befanya the afternoon, ata anya." A poor man came to the house, kara ababa. So he called by the door. Va'avu teridi kule ama b'seudata. Everybody was preoccupied with the seudah of the wedding, and nobody heard him. Nobody heard him. Ka'amina, ka'imna, so I went, shakaltil ristina'e, I took my portion, meaning I guess the portion that she had allotted for her food, the avitle, and I, that they gave me, the portion that was designated for me, the avitli, yavten, yeah, then I gave it to the poor man, I gave charity. Amar la mitzvah abad, oh, you did a mitzvah. Nafak Rabbi Akiva v'darash, Rabbi Akiva went out of the Beit Midrash that day and he said, Uztakat etzil mimavet, charity saves a person from death. Ve'lo mimita mishuna, not only from an unusual death, ela mimita atzma, but from death itself. Now the Gemara says one more proof. Emet Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, name from Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzhak also, and Mazal Yisrael. We see that there is, Jewish people are above the Mazal. They're not subject to the Mazal. The Emet Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, the mother of Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, Amre le Kalda'e, a certain stargazer told her, "Berich ganavahava, your son is going to be a thief." So how did the mother thwart that? Lo shavakte giluye reshe. She did not allow her son to ever have his head uncovered. Amra le, because she said, "Kaseresheh, cover your head." Ki echi deteve alach emtad nishmaya. So the fear of God will be on you. From here we learn that person covers his head, it adds to his Yirat Shamayim. That's why they call a covering of the head Yare Malka. Yare Malka means fear of the king. Sometimes when you go to the synagogues, you see on the box where they keep the kippot, they say Yarmulka. Yarmulka actually is Yare Malka. That's where it comes from. So you see, she wanted to offset his mazal, so she kept the kippah on his head in order that what? The fear of God will be on him. And she told her son, Uba'e rahameh. She told her son, you have to pray that the Yetzer Hara doesn't overpower you. As a young child, lo hava yada amai kamra le. He never understood why his mother was always telling him, you have to pray that the Yetzer Hara doesn't overpower you. What was she talking about? Until one day, yoma had yativ, one day he was sitting, kagaris tute dikla. He was learning under a palm tree. Nafal gilimim alave reshe. His gilima, his robe which was covering his head, blew off. Now for a moment his head was exposed. Dale'ene, he raised his eyes. Hazal dikla. He saw that there was a palm tree with very, very nice dates. And since he had a tendency to steal, Alme Yitzres Yetzalala, for that moment, got the best of him. Salik, he climbed up the tree, Paskel Kimbura Bishine, and he ripped the cluster of dates with his teeth. Which means, you saw just for a moment, the kippah came off his head, and the nature of Rav Nachman took place. But what do you see? So long as he had the kippah on, and he was praying, he was able to suppress it. So what do you see? En Mazal, Le Yisrael, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen.